It's time. Yes, the band have finished, and there were lots of bands yesterday, because we are now into day one of the new presidency of Joe Biden, President Joe R. Biden. And it's a great delight to welcome back the man whose smile is wider than a Cheshire cat today, our friend in the LA Man Cave. Will you put your hands together for Bruce K. Rosenbloom?
Yay. He's here.
Oh, wow, wow, wow. This time, almost this time yesterday, reminder, we're recording this at 4:15 on Thursday the 21st. We were getting so excited, ready for the big inauguration. And it sort of slightly caught us by surprise, because the coverage sort of started at 4:30, but he wasn't supposed to be, in inverted commas, done until 5:00 our time, which would be midday your time. And he and Kamala are both being done by about 4:50. So it was, hey, we want to get on with business.
Yeah, it was a long day yesterday, wasn't it? I mean, wow. 4:00 in the morning for me, at least.
Yes.
And we did our thing yesterday, the kind of pre-inauguration excitement. And then I think I went to sleep. it was about 11 o'clock Eastern. I probably crashed about 8 o'clock last night.
Oh, my goodness.
We were beat. We were absolutely beat. And emotionally just exhausted. I mean.
Well, absolutely. And it was a televisual feast, but it was also a feast for the ears. And it was also a feast for the mind and the heart and the emotions. I mean, where do we begin talking about it?
Well, you know, you begin by, you know, we sent off the old president on his way, who refused. It was sad because he didn't. You know, all he had to do was concede and be gracious about the transition of power, and he could have been involved, and he could have been a member of the president's club, and he could have done all those things. You know, his vice president tried to do that, and I think it made Pence look like the bigger man. But Trump was a small man, and it was all about him, and he was off to Florida, and he had to do his helicopter ride and his Air Force One ride and his red carpet and salute and all that, because that's just who he is. But once he was gone, there was really no more talk of him. I mean, his name was never mentioned yesterday at all in any of the speeches. And Biden did thank Pence for being there at the beginning of his speech. He recognized him.
Yeah.
Was, you know, but he didn't talk about Trump. And yesterday, I think, you know, today feels so good. I mean, it was just, I mean, there were so many different visuals that you have to take away from yesterday. First of all, the visual about democracy. You know, we were tested. We were tested, and a number of things, you know, overruled the insurgency. First of all, democracy won out, and the integrity of our institutions won out. They won out because people did the right thing to protect the electoral votes and the election. Republican governors, Republican-placed judges that Trump had put in around the country, even the Republicans that the conservatives that he appointed to the Supreme Court, all upheld the election results. They all did. They voted their conscience, so they acted on. They protected the Constitution. They did not let his threats and his intimidation and whatever else he was trying to do to squeeze votes to overturn the election. They did not let that interfere. And so I applaud the integrity of our institutions. They remain, you know, these people, you know, did what was right, and it proves that there's some good out there. Number two, I think what happened over the last number of years is when Trump came about at that time, there were a lot of people in this country who really truly felt that they were not, you know, that they were forgotten. And it was like, you know, what the heck? You know, this guy, you know, claims to be a successful businessman. You know, he claims he's out, you know, we'll take a chance on him. And whether Russia was involved or not, the fact of the matter is he won the election. And he had a lot of people buying into what he said he was going to do, drain the swamp and, you know, break norms. But part of the problem was that he couldn't, it proved, and what it was unfortunate about all this is that it proved that an experiment like this can't work. You can't just take someone with no experience who doesn't read, who hasn't worked with many of the people that you need to have worked with over the years to appoint to positions, so that you don't have agencies that are filled by people with with experience and knowledge, right? And you've got all these people coming into these roles for the first time that really don't know what the heck they're doing. And they're flying by the seat of their pants. And that's basically what happened. And then Trump's character emerged, you know, and his ego emerged. And it kind of got in the way of everything. And what you ended up happening is that you had a lot of Republicans following him. And it was, to me, it was kind of like there was like, there's the middle ground Republican who will vote Republican. But then you had these two fringes. You had kind of the wealthy fringe that loved the fact that he was there because he was all about the stock market and making money. And then you had this other fringe, which has been, you know, buried under a rock for many, many years. And through social media in his actions, he gave them a voice, a very powerful voice, you know, and whether that was good or bad, you know, remains to be seen. It's bad because of what they did, but it's good because they've been exposed and we know where they are and we know who they are. But you had this group that bought into, you know, making America great again, which was code for making America white again. And, you know, his building the wall, his labeling immigrants, you know, what he called Muslims, he labeled Mexicans, he labeled, you know, he put immigrants in cages down at the border. You know, in a march in Charlottesville, he said there were good people on both sides. He labeled the Black Lives Matter protests as they called them thugs and terrorists and left-wing, you know, left-wingers who were going to come to the urban cities and burn your cities down. So he was a guy that lacked empathy, lacked compassion, and just kind of never really understood the moment when the moment occurred. And so, you know, you had all these, so what you ended up having was this guy who was just there and built all these lies that got people to buy in, but he, you know, it was all style and no substance. And he didn't want to relinquish that power. So he built on that lie and created this whole narrative that the election was stolen from him. And that fringe group of his, you know, it gave them license to act.
Which is why we saw what we saw at the Capitol a fortnight ago, isn't it?
Right. So we saw what we saw, okay? And what that did is that worked against him. At the end of the day, people were horrified by that. Many in the Republican Party, and Republicans, you know, many of them are good people. They're not all fringe lunatics like what we saw. You know, they're as passionate about their ideology and the things that they want to see for America as us Democratic liberals are. I mean, you know, I have many friends who are Republicans and, you know, they're good people. They just, you know, we just, you know, want the same thing for the country, but we just go about it in different ways.
Yeah.
And what I think happened with Trump is, you know, so he loses this election, right? And he's gone. And now the question is, will he be impeached so he can never run again? Convicted in the Senate, and he'll kind of get purged from the Republican Party because they saw what a disaster it was, and that, you know, if you're gonna run a campaign, you've got to run it with people that are credible, that are knowledgeable, that have experience, you know, and that, you know, that you can feel good about voting for now. And I don't think that Trump will be a factor anymore. I really don't.
Let me leap in there because there is some comment that there's going to be a Trump party, that he will split. He will splinter the Republican Party, take with him the people you've described, the hotheads, we might say, and that could damage the Republican Party. So next time around in 4 years' time, the Republican Party is in disarray.
Well, that's all well and good, and that will feed his ego, but he went out with a 29% approval rating, and there's not enough of them to drive to win an election. And it won't happen. If there's a Trump party, or they want to call it a Patriots party, it's far-fetched, and I just don't think it'll happen. And second of all, he's going to be tied up he's got so many things that are going to come down on him in the next, you know, in the very near future that I don't know that he's going to have time. He doesn't have he does not have a social media platform anymore, so that hurts. So with low approval, no social media platform. And I think people were just plain disgusted by what they saw and how he led. So I don't think he's a factor. And I think the reason, like I said, I think the reason he came into power is because people bought into that fact that, you know, we'll take a chance. I mean, they think he was a successful businessman, and they think he was going to break the norms and he was going to be different. But he wasn't. And he didn't care about the forgotten man. He didn't care about anybody but himself and his family and his wealthy friends. And that's what it proved. And so, you know, you elect a guy like Joe Biden now, and you see what happened. You see how they returned to normalcy yesterday, even after a capital insurrection. What yesterday proved is that you don't need millions of people to be there. You know, it's not all about the number of people you get in the crowd. It's the message, and it's how they presented the message. I mean, if you watched the end of that inauguration and saw that fireworks show, how could you not feel emotion? How could you not feel emotion by that young poet from Los Angeles who wrote that brilliant and powerful poem about the state of our country?
Amanda Gorman, she's Amanda, quite an extraordinary young lady.
Yeah, I mean, the fact of the matter is that, you know, you have to understand, you know, you can't take the country backwards. You have to move forwards, like they say. You honor by remembering, but you've got to move forward. And that was the message. We have to unify the country. We have to defeat the pandemic. We have to get the economy going. Those are real issues, and it's going to take – I mean, if you saw the first press conference they did, it was a relief. It was a breath of fresh air to see a woman lead a press conference who knows what she's doing, you know, and knows how to treat the press. I mean, it was such a great press conference. It was and they're going to do them every day, and she's been there. She's worked as a White House press secretary. She's worked for the State Department as a press. She knows how to handle the press. She knows how to be sensitive. And Biden himself told people they will be fired on the spot if they don't show respect and compassion for the people they're dealing with. He's all about respect. And I think that's what people want, a return to that. And it's like we said yesterday, it's his game to lose. I mean, Trump will become a non-issue. He'll become a speck in American history, a failed experiment. If Biden can accomplish the things that he wants to accomplish, and, you know, it's going to be tough. I mean, they're going to go back to debating issues, and they're going to have real fights with Republicans, and it's going to be a lot of compromise. And that's all good, and it's all healthy. But, you know, but there's things that are happening, you know, that are happening right away that need to happen. And I think everybody's going to be on board and give him a chance. And like I say,
He has already started to sign some fairly significant reversals of Trump's policies. The climate accord.
We're back. We're going to be back in the Paris Climate Accord. Yeah.
And the World Health Organization as well.
Right. Dr. Fauci is our emissary to the World Health Organization. He lifted the Muslim ban. He's he's coming up with an easier path for immigrants to find citizenship here.
Masks need to be worn in government buildings to set a good example to the rest of the population.
Right. Shutting down the building of the wall that was shut down, relieving people that are about to get evicted because of the pandemic, student loan forgiveness. I mean, there's a lot of stuff he's going to do immediately to get the pandemic under control. And if he can do that, I mean, if he can deliver on his promises. And there's a lot of confidence. People have confidence that he can do it. That could pave the way for Kamala Harris getting elected in 4 years. I don't know that Biden. I think Biden sees himself as a transitional president.
Yeah.
It's going to take 4 years to right the wrong. And it's going to be 4 years of deprogramming the country to what they had been through with Trump. Because it's true. What people said is if Trump had 8 years, we'd be done. But in 4 years, we can turn it around. And I think he started yesterday that process of turning things around. And I think that's what people want. I think we can be unified. I think we can be civil. And I think we can be respectful to each other. I mean, that experiment failed.
Okay. The experiment failed, but it came to a nasty, blistering moment 2 weeks ago with the riots at the Capitol. Just going back to that part of it, and we'll move on very quickly from it. Do you think that sort of thing might kick off again? Because that's why so much was, there were big steel fences around the Capitol and, 20,000 troops on the ground, more than you've got in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Right. And nothing happened in any state yesterday. There was a call to protest all 50 states. Nothing happened. People did not show up at any Capitol. and our capital was as peaceful as can be. I don't think you will see that happen again. And the reason being is I think that Trump on the social media platform his rallies, he had been stirring this up for months, and it came to a head on that January 6th day where he called for everybody to be there and it was going to be wild, and they called for this. I bet he will be found guilty in the Senate and convicted on inciting that insurrection. But I don't think it'll happen again. I think people were disgusted by that. 70% of Americans were disgusted by what they saw. It's a fringe element out there, and it's just, you know, you're always going to have those fringe elements out there, but now they've been exposed, and the FBI and law enforcement are tracking these people down, and there's going to be hefty jail sentences. And it's sending a message to the country that you just don't do this. And democracy won. And I don't think it will happen again. I think people will take a step back, and there'll always be critics, but I think Biden will get the benefit of the doubt here. And if he can start changing the narrative and start changing and start deprogramming the country back to really buying into what our country is all about. I don't think there'll be a need for someone like Trump to come along and try that again. I don't think, you know, if the country is moving in the right direction and people are feeling good about where we are in the next year, the next 2 years, it doesn't matter what a Donald Trump does, because he'll be irrelevant. It won't matter, because people won't want to go back to that. When people are feeling euphoric and feeling good about things, they don't need a disruptor. You know, they just want more of it. They want someone who's going to come in and maintain it. And they want to make sure that whoever succeeds the person in power now, that job creation, that opportunity, that equal justice will continue to be, you know, part of what we do.
And one of the things that really struck home with the speech he gave yesterday was he kept going back to say a healthy democracy is one where we can debate, where we can disagree, but where it's done within the context of clear thinking and passion, but not destruction. I mean, he came back to that line in various different ways all the way through his speech. And he wasn't doing it as a finger wag, or at least it didn't feel. He was just simply saying, this is the way we're getting back on track, by learning how we can work together and disagree at the same time.
Totally right. And that's the way it'll have to be. And I think you've got a lot of people that kind of got caught up in the whole Trump thing. They all got caught up in the lie that promised power and political gain, and they didn't get it, and they got rebuked, and they're going to pay. Some of these people are going to pay a price for a long time. Some of them might not get reelected, but others, you know, 17 Republican congressmen who voted to, you know, challenge the election have already sent a letter to Biden saying they're willing to work with him. You know, whether it's, you know, politically motivated or their conscience has got to them, you know, that they did that. And we'll see what happens. You know, and none of them have a real good reason for what they did. You know, they all point to things that happened in the past. The Democrats challenged Ohio 10 years ago, blah, blah, blah. This was different. I mean, this was really different. This was getting caught up in the whole stop the steal idea. Mm-hmm. And if Trump would have remained in power, these people, by, you know, hitching their, you know, wagons to his cart, would have gained, you know, financially for their campaigns, or politically or been politically rewarded for their loyalty. And that's not there now. And so now we have to go back to really being a country that is governed by people that know what the heck they're doing. And Biden has the experience, and he's got the relationship. He's got the team in place. I mean, these people are pros, and they're not there to screw around. And they've been told, you know, we're not going to operate with, you know, by being condescending to people, by talking down, by being disrespectful. That's not what he wants. And he basically, if you saw that part of the inauguration last night when he swore in the 1,000 people that are part of his team that don't need Senate confirmation, he said, if you don't do this, you will be fired. I will fire you on the spot. I mean, you never heard Trump say that. Never. So it's a new day. A new day has dawned, and now we're day one of the administration. And, you know, and it's back to business. It's back to, yeah. How is the Senate, you know, going to – I mean, listen, we have a real problem in this country, and the world has a real problem. I mean, We need to get back in good standing with our allies. We need to get back. We need to have somebody lead against this pandemic that's going to take an interest in the American people and their health and open schools and get the economy going. I mean, there are major issues that all have to be dealt with at the same time. I mean, generally a president will come in and it'll be a war that he has to deal with, or a depression, or whatever. But you know, in the case of, you know, back in the 70s, a president that resigned in disgrace, right? So, you know, or when Kennedy died, you know, was assassinated, you know, we all had to figure out how to get back on track and move ahead. And he's got four major things, I mean, that he's out there dealing with, that, you know, and he's 79 years old too. Don't forget. But you know, so, you know, we got to keep an eye on that.
But going back to what you were saying, he has had experience. He's had two decades or so in the Senate as a senator. So he knows how the system works. I mean, one of the other things that I've also picked up, I think one of the commentators was saying that quite often when one president came in and the other one left, it didn't matter which party they were. There will be odd calls every so often saying, hey, look, I'm facing this. How do I handle this? Because apparently there was quite a lot of calls between Barack Obama and previous presidents like Clinton and Bush. That never happened, apparently, during the Trump era.
Yeah, he resented them all so much. He never talked to them.
And looking at the platform yesterday, you had Mike Pence was there, but you had George Bush, you had Clinton there. You didn't have...
Well, Jimmy Carter was too old to travel.
He was too frail. But they're all available at the end of the phone. And you get this feeling from what President Joe Biden has said, is that he will draw on the experience wherever he can get it from, either side of the floor or either side of the country.
Yeah, and how often do you see three United States presidents? They filmed a video, and they were there. They offered they said, "We're here for you."
That's right. I remember it.
We're here for you. Yep. Whatever you need, we're here. We're wishing. I mean, George Bush became friends. George Bush, the 41, became good friends with Bill Clinton after he left office, and they had a contentious battle.
Yeah,
you know, Clinton made George Bush 41 a one-term president, and then George Bush, you know, the 43, I don't even know the numbers anymore. I mean, he became really good friends with the Obamas, and the Bushes are good friends, and Clintons. I mean, they all understood. They were the peaceful transition of power was right there, you know, with the three of them, and they're all friends. They have good relationships, and they're offering their support and help to the new president. And something that Trump didn't do. I mean that is amazing. That was you never see these guys get together, as they said, except for a funeral or inauguration. But you know, and then they filmed this beautiful video.
Yeah.
You know, sending this message, and you know, and it's just, I don't know. It's a whole different. You know, it's a whole different normality, normalcy, whatever you want to call it. I mean, it's a new normal right now, and it feels good. And you know, it all feels right now.
You're sounding good. You've got a big smile on your face. However, you are facing Jackie are facing a moment later on today, because you're off to roll your sleeves up, aren't you?
We are. We're gonna go over to Cal State Northridge, as a matter of fact, and get our shot over one of our BEA member schools, and also I don't know if you knew this, but the first second gentleman, I guess Kamala Harris' husband,
Kamala's husband. I've got yes.
All right. He is a graduate of Cal State Northridge.
You're joking.
He's a local kid. He went to high school right up the street from us.
Now, okay, so I gave you a commission yesterday when we saw this wonderful LA-based poet, Ms. Gorman. You need to get her on, and you need to get the first, whatever he is, first man. Is he? He's not the first. He must be the first man. So it would be Motus or something, or
he's the first. He's the first second gentleman. He's the second gentleman. The vice gentleman, whatever they call him.
Your big mission in the next 100 days.
Yeah,
get him on.
He went to Agora High School, which is about one off ramp up from us.
Yeah.
And then he went to Cal State Northridge, and then he went, I don't remember where he went to law school, but It's an amazing story. I mean, it's so great. And then this young gal from Los Angeles, I mean, there's all these California connections yesterday, and they're all local. I mean, this gal is, you know, she overcame a speech impediment.
She stuttered a bit like somebody else on the podium.
Yeah, she didn't have a stutter, but she couldn't pronounce R's, and she has
a stammer, wasn't it? Yeah.
It's amazing. I mean, you know, what blows me away is how someone, I mean, you know, what a gift to be a wordsmith, to be able to see all of the things in the from the past, various inauguration speeches, and then an insurrection, and then being able to condense it down into however many paragraphs of text she put together to create this story. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And she said she doesn't have visuals in her head. She doesn't put her work together that way. She doesn't see pictures in her head. She just puts the words together. And she borrowed from the play Hamilton. She borrowed from previous inauguration speeches. She borrowed from Twitter posts that she saw following the insurrection. And to be able to put something like that together and to call all that together, I mean, it's amazing to me that there's someone out there that can just capture so much.
It wasn't just that, because I, as a presenter, was watching the way she was delivering it, and she was involving all of her body, not just her voice, but her face and her hands. And it was just a piece of sheer artistry. It was magic. Look, I'm looking at the time. You've got to get yourself sorted out. This has been a fantastic moment. I'm sure you are going to relive this in your head for many weeks and months to come. Yes, there's a pandemic, but yes, let's put everything aside. You now have a new president and you have a new vice president. And as you've been saying all the way through today's program, this is a new start. And I'm sure on every part of your wonderful continent, there will be people saying, we have whatever our thoughts and ideas and political beliefs, we have got to make it work. And so let's try and work together, even if we have to disagree.
You couldn't have said that any better, Andrew. And I think the world is thinking the same thing. You know, I think the world is breathing a collective sigh of relief that America is back, and they got someone in Joe Biden who, you know they can work with. And I think, you know, I think the world got a kickstart yesterday in the right direction. Right. So let's, you know,
off you go then.
Off we go with love and good thoughts and, healing people from the pandemic and, you know, and getting our lives back and moving the world forward. And I can't wait to have more of these positive discussions with you going forward, because I'm just kind of tired of the old ones, you know.
Bruce K. Rosenblum, thanks once again for joining us here on Sion Radio.
Thanks, Andrew. I'll talk to you hopefully next week.
Keep our fingers crossed.
You got it.